It's the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15. So that we can leave behind our warring with God, our warring with ourselves, and our warring with others.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject has been for several weeks the molding of a man. And that really is the subject that consumes the material in the first seven verses, which is in essence the first paragraph of the book of 2 Timothy. We've looked already at how God molded the Apostle Paul. Then we began to look at the young man Timothy, first Paul, the apostolic servant, and then Timothy, the apostolic son. He was the son of God primarily. He was the son of the Apostle Paul in the sense that Paul was the human agent that God had used to bring Timothy to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We said there were really two basic ideas. One, there was the ultimate source of his fashioning or molding into Christ-likeness. And the ultimate source was what God had done immediately in his life. He had become the Son of God. Now we come to the unfolding source of that fashioning. And that's the material that's contained in verses 3 to 7. There follows now, following verses 1 and 2, a very personal paragraph. I hope you're reading through the book of 2 Timothy. I would urge you to do that on a regular basis. Paul mentions four major influences which had contributed to the shaping and the molding of the young man Timothy. And those are the things we want to get to. Paul says, the first thing that comes to my mind is your parental upbringing. And he mentions that in verse 5. And then he says, not only was there that parental upbringing that was a part of the unfolding source of your fashioning, but also there was your spiritual friendship. Then there was a third ingredient, his special endowment from God. God gave him two kinds of gifts. One, he gave him a ministry gift. He gave him a ministry gift and he gave him an energy gift. And then his personal discipline. Timothy, stir up the gift of God. There's something for us to do as well as something for God to do. Now let's talk about his parental upbringing. This is very important. Do you notice what verse 5 says? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. What is unfeigned faith? In a word, that's an old English word, unfeigned. To feign something means to fake it. The Greek word is anupokrites. It means unhypocritical. They had an unhypocritical faith. They were sincere people. They possessed a saving faith. They had a saving faith, and they had a dynamic living faith. Every day of their lives, they walked by faith. As you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, Colossians 2:6, so walk ye in him every day. You receive him by an active faith. You follow him daily with an attitude of faith, an attitude of dependence upon the sufficiency of God to meet every one of your needs. That was the kind of faith that permeated the spirit of Timothy's home. It was an unhypocritical faith. They were sincere people who held out to their family first. And that's the place to begin, men and women, parents. They held out to their family first, sincere faith. So the scripture says that Lois and Eunice before Timothy revealed an unfeigned and unhypocritical faith. He saw always and only unfeigned faith. He never saw two sets of values. He saw one. He saw Christians within the framework of his family, believers in God and in Christ. When Paul came and preached about Christ, he saw believers who lived their lives by God's principles and not by the world's. Not two sets of principles, not two sets of values, but one. It was unhypocritical faith. He never saw in his parents a thin veneer of religiosity that made them respectable and acceptable before the watching world, but which covered over a deep-rooted hypocrisy and venom. He never saw it. I tell you, that was a molding, shaping, fashioning, formative, powerful influence in the life of Timothy. That's what made him a man of God. We have tremendous potential in our families, tremendous power as parents, for good and for the glory of God in raising up our children according to God's principles. I want to say two things very quickly about the faith that Timothy witnessed in his family, this unfeigned faith. Let me say two things about it. It's based on the historical context in Acts 14, verses 19 to 22, and another section there. Two things about that faith, that unfeigned faith. First, the character of their faith. It was courageous. Secondly, the content of their faith. It was Christ. It's based on the historical context where Paul came preaching to Lystra, to the people in Lystra, Timothy's hometown. And as you study that historical narrative, Acts 14, 19 to 22, and Acts 14, verse 7, you learn at least these two things. One, the character of their faith, it was courageous. Two, the content of their faith, it was Christ. As Paul came to Lystra, the cities were behind him. He was going out into a country at Lystra that was so wild and so desert and so remote that there were places in the area of Lystra where water was actually sold for money. It was a desolate, devastated area. Lystra was at the very end of the Roman road in that part of the empire. It was though Rome was a hub of a great wheel, and out from Rome went all these spokes. They were the Roman roads. And at the very end of one of those roads was the town of Lystra. It was a frontier town. It was wild, uncharted, remote, and it had those kinds of people in them. You know, it's amazing to me to see how Paul would go anywhere to preach the gospel. It's amazing to me to see how Paul would go anywhere to preach the gospel. He would cheerfully go into the great cities of the ancient world, into Jerusalem, into Rome, into Athens, into Ephesus, and he would equally cheerfully go to the very ends of the civilized world if he could do only one thing, and that is preach the message of the gospel. I want to tell you, young person, if God calls you to some remote part on the face of this globe, and you invest the whole of your life, your energy, your potential, and your powers in proclaiming the gospel in some remote center of the world, I want to tell you, you will have never have wasted your life. You will have invested it in something of eternal meaning. Paul was willing to go anywhere. Wherever Christ wanted him to go, that's where Paul would go. The men and women of Lystra, out there on the frontiers of the empire, were rugged individualists. They were superstitious and they were idolatrous. They worshipped Jupiter and Mercury, the Greek gods. They possessed a rugged individualism and a violent disposition. Paul had not long been in Lystra, Acts 14 tells us, before he was stoned. And he was dragged outside of the city. The Bible says in Acts 14, 19, they were supposing that he was dead. But the scripture says in verse 20 of Acts 14 that God supernaturally restored him to physical well-being, perhaps even to life. He rose up and he came into the city, which is an astounding statement to me. He'd just been stoned in that city. He rose up and he came into the city. That was a mighty display, one of God's power, two of Paul's love and courage. And I think it was that kind of demonstration that convinced Lois and Eunice and ultimately Timothy that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. They saw a demonstration of God's power in Paul's restoration to well-being after he was stoned. And they saw a demonstration of godly love and courage. And so they placed their faith in the Son of God who had given that potential and power to the Apostle Paul. And you know what that means to me? That means to me that Lois and Eunice and Timothy knew from the very outset the cost that would be attached to identifying with Jesus Christ. It was a courageous faith. They knew very well that they might become martyrs. They'd seen it happen to Paul, and still they placed their faith in the Son of God. It was a courageous faith. That's what unfeigned faith always is. Unhypocritical faith is always courageous. It stands up for Jesus Christ no matter what the cost. I want to tell you, when your children see that kind of a godly example, when they can say, when they can look back over the lives of their parents and they can say, my parents, whatever else they did and whatever else they had and whatever else they said, they had a courageous faith. Whatever the cost, they identified with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, you will shape and mold their lives for God's glory. It was a courageous faith. That was the character of it. The content of it was Christ. It says in Acts 14 and verse 7 that when Paul came to Lystra, he preached the gospel. And the gospel is a message about Jesus Christ. The central personality of the gospel is Christ. I want to tell you something. You may have a strong, powerful, courageous faith, but if it is not terminating upon or resting upon the right object, you're in deep trouble. There's one object upon which your faith must come to rest if you ever hope to experience God's mighty eternal life and God's blessing in your life and your family, and that object is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That was the message Paul preached. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a powerful message, the gospel. The Bible says it's the gospel of truth, Colossians 1:5. So that we can leave behind our groping in the darkness. Maybe there's someone here groping in the darkness. I want to tell you, the gospel is truth. If you're in pursuit of truth, you'll find it in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's personified in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way for those who are lost. I am the truth for those who are learned. I am the life for those who are longing, Jesus said. The truth is in Jesus, Paul said, Ephesians 4 and verse 21. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The gospel is the gospel of truth. It'll set you free from groping in the darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. It is the gospel of hope, Colossians 1, 23, so that we can leave behind our pessimism, our cynicism, and our despair. If you're detached from God, you're going to be detached from hope. There's going to be despair. Christ will set you free from that through his gospel. It's the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6, 15, so that we can leave behind our warring with God, our warring with ourselves, and our warring with others. It's the gospel of immortality, 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, so that we can leave behind our fears and our dread of death. It's the gospel of our salvation, Ephesians 1, verse 13, so that we can leave behind our fears of sin's penalty and our impotence to conquer sin's power. He preached the gospel, and they believed it, and they were saved. And Timothy saw that, and he was transformed. There are three things which are said to be unhypocritical in our lives. According to the Bible, there are three areas of our lives in which we must be unhypocritical. May I just give you the outline? We must have unhypocritical faith. 2 Timothy 1:5, 1 Timothy 1:5. We must have unhypocritical faith, the kind of faith of which I've just talked, courageous faith which terminates in Christ. Then we must have unhypocritical love, Romans 12:9, 2 Corinthians 6:6, and 1 Peter 1, verse 22. We must have unhypocritical love. So says the Bible. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Unhypocritical love has three characteristics, just the outline. One, it is conspicuous. You can see it. When a man loves, it's evident. If it's not visible, it's not credible. Two, it is costly. There's no such thing as cheap love. Love that costs nothing is worth nothing. I guess you and I need to ask ourselves the question, when was the last time it cost me to show love? Three, it's comprehensive. It's like that burnt offering, all consumed in the flame. The elements of the animal reduced to vapor. Comprehensive love is the elements of self reduced to vapor. As I give myself completely to Christ. And then we must have unhypocritical wisdom. James chapter 3 and verse 17. And the Bible says, I think that means that we're to have a godly contempt for man's wisdom and a deep commitment to God's. In our families, raising up our children according to the principles of Scripture and not man's wisdom. You know, let me just say this in closing. There's no one who will discern more quickly whether or not we are hypocritical in these areas, faith, love, and wisdom, than our children. What we really are, we are at home. The first influence on Timothy's life, which molded him and shaped him and formed him into that mighty man of God, which is recorded in the New Testament, was his parental upbringing. A mother and a grandmother who were sincere believers and who had taught him out of the Scriptures from his earliest childhood. Today, as in Paul's day, anyone who has been born and bred in a Christian home where Christianity to them is a vital experience and not a convenience, anyone who has been born and bred in a Christian home has received from God a blessing beyond price.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.